Morning, glad to be in God's house. I tell you, folks, we must have had a run of COVID right through the middle right here. I tell you, I don't know what happened, but we always, through the summer, it's just going to be like this. The bottom falls out, but we'll get her back together pretty quick. We're going to be getting started with school just a few weeks. I think the boys start football tomorrow, and so we're going to get back to a routine. Let me encourage you to be faithful. I mentioned this just a moment. In Sunday school, I know the whole COVID variant and all this business and stuff, and COVID is a very real thing. I don't dismiss it as a farce or anything, but let's keep our heads screwed on, stay faithful to the things of God as best we can. If a person has compromised health and they choose to not be here, I respect that, but if we can be here, let's stay hooked, folks. Let's stay hooked and keep the house of God full, and we'll be blessed for that, okay? So glad you're here this morning. I don't think we have any first-time visitors, but if so, if I missed you, glad you're here this morning, okay? Let's go to the Lord. Oh, by the way, good rain. Thank the Lord. Amen. Be thankful to the Lord for that good rain, okay? Let's go ahead and open our services up in a word of prayer, and then we'll get right down back to it, okay? Blake, will you lead us in a word of prayer, please?
I think you may be seated. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh my soul, I worship worship your holy name. Lord, I worship your holy name.
This morning for your son Jesus. Lord, as we sing these songs and we lift these praises up to you, Lord, with the central
theme of all of it, Lord, is your redeeming love and your son Jesus and what he did for us and what he continues to do for us. Lord, we sing about heaven. We sing about a mansion on the hilltop. We sing about all that you have that lies before us. And we praise you for it. And we know, Lord God, that it's only ours through your son, Jesus. And Lord, we also know that if there be somebody here that doesn't know Jesus, that they don't have those things that we sing about. And that's a sad thing, Father. We ask that you'll deal with their hearts today. We pray that your Holy Spirit would move amongst us, deal with hearts, knock on the doors of our hearts, if you will, and have us open up to you. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll anoint me to communicate the Word of God, that I would just be able to speak clearly and think clearly, and Father, and communicate clearly. And I just pray, Father, that you'll bless those children in the back as they're being taught, and bless those that are absent from us this morning. Lord, probably look like nearly half our congregation is gone. Lord, I don't know whether it's vacation, sickness, whatever the case is, bring them back. Father, you gave us rain. You continue to give us rain, and we praise you for it, every drop of it, Lord. We thank you for nourishing our land. We thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing for our farmers and our ranchers and our economy. We thank you, Lord God, for your provision. We ask, Heavenly Father, now for the next few moments that you would be blessed and honored by what we do. And Lord, we'll praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll turn in your Bible to Judges chapter 8. Judges chapter 8. Before we read our text this morning, I want to summarize for a moment what has transpired in the previous chapters leading up to our text. Because what we see happening to Israel, God's chosen people, is something that very well could happen to you and I along the way. And so we want to see this. They had become wayward. They had become rebellious. So much so that God's word says that they did evil in the sight of the Lord. Those are not words that we want to ever have said about us, that we did evil in the sight of the Lord. But that was the case for the children of Israel. So the consequences of that was God removed his hand of blessing and his hand of provision and protection from their life. He allowed them to begin to experience great trial and great difficulty. To be specific about that, he allowed Midian, which was an opposing nation, to come in and prevail upon Israel. In other words, to ride roughshod over them, if you will. And so Israel is in great crisis in the sense that the Midianites tormented them and oppressed them. In fact, God's word says that they were greatly impoverished by the Midianites. In other words, the Midianites had come in and pillaged and plundered them so much so to the point that they were being reduced to poverty. God's children was. And that's a horrible thing to see happen to anyone, but especially to God's children, because the Word of God says that in Psalms 84:11, that no good thing will he withhold from them that walketh uprightly. In other words, God says, I'm going to take care of you if you'll take care of your business and walk uprightly. It doesn't say that you'll be rich if you walk uprightly. He doesn't say that you'll never have any health problems if you walk uprightly. He just simply says you won't do without if you walk uprightly. So Israel didn't have to be in the shape that they were in. But they were rebellious, and they were going against God's wills, and so because of that, they are being impoverished, they are being tormented, they are being oppressed, and the Midianites are just running roughshod over them. It didn't stay that way, by the way, okay? And it doesn't have to stay that way in our life, if you will. When Israel finally had suffered enough, when they'd finally gone through enough heartache, they did what God wants every rebellious child to do. They fell on their knees before God. The Bible says in Judges 6:7 that they cried out to the Lord. And folks, that's where God wants us to be. He wants us to be humble. He wants us to be repentant. He wants us to be seeking of Him. And that's what they did. That's what God was looking for. And the result of it was that then he came to their rescue. Folks, that's a good thing, is it not? If we get off track and we get ourselves in trouble, we want God to come to our rescue, and it takes us getting on our knees and seeking him for that to happen. God is on our side, folks. There's no way around it. If you belong to him, if you're his child, he's on your side, and he wants good for us, not bad. But when we choose to rebel and not yield to his will, we bring the bad upon ourselves. He doesn't want us to be experiencing that, but he will allow it to happen in order to bring us back to him. So Israel's trials have brought them to their knees, which brought them being on their knees brought God to their rescue, and God used a man named Gideon. Bible says he was a mighty man of valor. Gideon was the right kind. Gideon was the man for the job at that particular moment. And Gideon immediately, as their leader, as their human leader, okay, he went to work cleaning things up. First of all, the first thing he did is he went in and he had them tear down all the altars that had been built for the worship of false gods. He said, get rid of this junk, okay? And he led them and began to reinstall proper worship. to the real God, the God that that had cared for Israel all those years. And then secondly, he went to work preparing them as a people to go to battle against the Midianites. And friends, there's a detail that we see there in that we don't want to overlook. Notice the order that Gideon went in. He took care of the spiritual first, and then he took care of the practical obstacles in life. In other words, he got them right with God, and then he got them shaped up to go to battle and deal with their problems in this world from the Midianites. And that's what we have to understand in our life. We may have financial troubles. We may have marital problems. We may have addictions, emotional issues. We may have some people problems. There may be people in our life that are dealing us thunder and this sort of thing. But the proper thing to do is deal with the spiritual first. Make sure we're right with God. Tackle that problem, and then we'll be equipped and we'll be in a position where we can tackle the other problems. And that's the order it goes in. But otherwise, to just go attack the practical problems without getting our heart right with God, that's to put the cart before the horse, and it won't work. So if we were to read chapter 6 and 7, and we're not, if we were to read it, though, we would see how God miraculously delivered the giant, vast armies of Midian into the hands of Israel. And he does so in such a way that only he can get the glory. He did it in such a way that you had to sit back and say, wow, that could only have been God that did that. He got the glory out of it. But by this time, where we are in our text, the major battle has been won. They've already just whooped the snot, if you will, out of Midian and defeated them. And now most of the enemy has been subdued, but some have fled afoot. They took off. And there were two kings within that bunch that fled afoot, one by the name of Zebai and the other one by Zalnuma, okay, or Zalmunna. Z. Okay? And Gideon and his men pursued them. They took out after them. They want to follow through. They want to have not just partial victory. They didn't just whip this bunch here and go home and celebrate. They wanted complete victory, and they wanted to follow through. And that's where we find ourselves now in chapter 8 and verse 4, just one verse, and Roy's going to put it on the screen and leave it there. But here's the deal. Verse 4, it says, and Gideon, of course, his men with him, came to Jordan and passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him. Watch this. Faint, yet pursuing them. Notice that. That's an important thing to notice. He says, faint, yet pursuing them. Do you ever get tired? Age has a way of humbling us, does it not? I think... I'm by and large, I'm a fairly active person. I'm not in too bad a shape for my age. But folks, I just don't have the energy I used to have. David and I have talked about it. He's like the Energizer Bunny. But he says, man, I just don't have the energy I used to have. And folks, I can get still, and I'm just telling off on myself, I can get still any time of day and fall asleep right where I'm sitting. I mean, I've just come to realize. And so I don't get still, or I try not to. As much as I love my office, and I consider it really a place of sanctuary, love to be in my office, I sure love to do my studying there, but as much as I love to, if I stay too much or too long, I'll start falling asleep. That's why I want you to knock when you come to my office. But that's physical fatigue. What about spiritual fatigue? We get worn down spiritually, don't we? We get spiritually faint, if you will. There's no way around it. Just as Gideon and his men had marched all night long, all the way through the night, they had pursued these runaway Midianites, and now it's on into the next day, and they had become faint. They're tired. Many of you have marched in the army of God faithfully for years and years and years. You become faint. I know you do. You have served the Lord faithfully. But that doesn't mean you don't get tired. I just want to say this, and I mean it with all my heart. This is the greatest group of people I've ever been associated with. Amen. Bar none. Not even close. Not even a close second. And I see some of you that are gaining in age, if you will. That's just a tactful way of saying you're getting old, okay? I see many of you, you're gaining in age, and for years I've watched you, because I've been here now 22 years. For years I've watched you here at Bible Baptist serve the Lord consistently and faithfully, and there's no signs of letting up. As long as God gives you your next breath, you're going to serve Him. And I never have to wonder if you're going to be in your place. I never have to question whether you're going to serve. It's just a gimme. I see that. I know that. You can be counted on, and I appreciate that. There are others here in our congregation that fall into other categories that are equally impressive. I think of you 20-somethings or you 30-somethings. And you being here at all is quite impressive, because I know how much the world pulls at you. I know how much the world screams at you, do this, do that, go there, come over here, this sort of thing. And so you're juggling your jobs and you're juggling children and you're working through life's problems and you're trying to make ends meet. There's so many distractions, so many things vying for your time. So the fact that you're here, to me, is impressive. Same thing goes for our teenagers and our college-age kids. Life can wear you down. Life can make you faint. But yet, you are pursuing. You're faint, but yet pursuing. You're not quitting. And folks, let me say this. Anybody can be a flash in the pan, okay? Anybody can get all excited and start coming to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and going, they're going to set the world on fire, but when the excitement wears off, they disappear. You see, God wants us to be faint. Or He doesn't want us to be faint, but He wants us to, when we're faint, to continue pursuing. So when we fall away and we get out of church and we get out of serving the Lord and all of that, we're faint, but not pursuing. It's not where God wants us. God's looking for people who, though they are faint, will yet pursue. That's what shows Him spiritual depth. That's what shows Him that we're in this for Him, that we're not in this for comfort, we're not in this for excitement, we're not even in it for the blessings. We're in it because we love Him. Those other things are secondary. They're nice benefits. But we're in this for God. We're in this for Jesus. So we keep going. We're faint, but yet pursuing. We wipe the sweat from our brow. We get a second, catch our second breath, and we keep going. We don't quit. Now rest awaits us somewhere down the line. We sing about heaven. The rest is in heaven, and it's okay, folks, to sit down for a moment. It's okay to catch our breath. Okay. But we got to keep pursuing. I was shoeing one of my horses this week. Waited till a little late today to even get started. So it was around noon and it was starting to get hot. I knew it was going to be hot. I found me a place in the shade. It needed to be done. I was going to do it. If you've ever trimmed a horse or put shoes on, it's straight up work, folks, especially as you age. It's work. Got started, began to get hot. Believe me, I felt like quitting, but I couldn't quit in the middle of it. And here's what happened. Let me explain to you if you don't know. I didn't have these problems when I was young. I didn't have these problems when I was a kid. Your glasses, first of all, when you're shoeing a horse, you're like this, right? You're like this, and you're doing your job. Well, you start sweating profusely, and it drips on the lens of your glasses. and that starts to skew your vision, okay? Well, then that, your head gets so sweaty that your glasses start, they drop off your nose and they start moving back. So you went down with 1 foot, now you got four you're trying. And you're, I'm serious. It's a, and I talked to a buddy of mine back home that, does his own horses too. And I started, he said, that's exactly what happens to me. But here's the deal. I did go over and sit down. I had me a little folding chair at the barn, and I did go over and sit down numerous times, and I took in a lot of water, but I made up my mind it's going to be one nail at a time, one shoe at a time, 1 foot at a time, but I wasn't going to quit. Amen. Amen. That's the way life is as a Christian. It's one obstacle at a time, one day at a time, one trial at a time. But we don't quit. You have to stop, sit down, catch your breath. That's okay. You have to wipe the sweat from your brow. That's okay. Gideon and his men were tired. They didn't give up. Now, you have to understand this. This is something that we have to tell ourselves and think about. The characters of the Bible were human, just like you and I. They were not superhuman. They were not endowed with superhuman powers that allowed them to leap small buildings in, buildings in a single bound or whatever, or travel at the speed of light. They were human, just like you and I. They were men and women, in some cases young people, just like we are. They got acne when they were a kid, okay? Their breath smelled bad when they got up in the morning. They caught colds in the winter just like we do. They were human. They grew faint. You're human. You're going to grow faint. All humans, all Christians are going to grow faint. But it's when we pursue, when we're faint yet pursuing, that the blessings come. We gain ground, it might not be a lot of ground. We take steps, but it might not be a lot of steps. But it is pursuit. We may stumble. We may have to get up after several falls. It may be marital problems. It may be health issues. It may be financial problems, mental problems, emotional problems, depression, anxiety. It may be temptation that we're dealing with. It may be the attacks of Satan. It may be an antagonistic person or people in our life that are dealing us thunder and trying to hurt us and trying to discourage us. But it could be any number of things, but we don't stop. We keep pursuing. We keep moving forward. We put one foot in the other, in front of the other. And it may only be a few steps again, but we don't quit. You see, Gideon's men may have marched slowly, but they did march. They may have fought very feebly, but they did fight. They may have pursued faintly, but they did pursue. They're not going to stop until the victory was won. That's the attitude that we have to have. And folks, we can't do that on our own. I understand that. I mean, I'm motivating you to stay in the fight. We don't stay in the fight on our own, okay? It's Jesus that gives us the victory. But it's ourselves that has to have the will to fight. We have to decide in our heart that I'm staying in the battle. I'm going to continue to pursue. No matter what the foe is, no matter how big the obstacle, no matter how powerful the enemy is, 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 31 says, if God be for us, who can be against us? One of my favorite verses. Think about that. If God is on our side, who can be against us? What can defeat us? So friends, you're in the right army and you have enlisted under the right commander-in-chief. The battle is his. And in the end, we win. We know we do. But folks, that's not good enough for me. I don't want to just win when I get to heaven. I want to win today. I want to win tomorrow. I want to win in my life from day to day. And that's only going to happen in measure to how hard we are pursuing. Maybe you're here this morning, you're wanting to quit. You're tired. You give out. You feel defeated. You'll only be defeated if you quit. Sit down. Rest yourself for a moment. Wipe the sweat off your face. Get a second breath and catch your breath, but get back up and pursue. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we faint not." The very fact that you are faint tells us that you're in the battle, right? That's a good thing. If we were refreshed all the time, if we were totally energized at all times and rested, that would indicate that we're not in a battle at all. So I'd rather be faint yet pursuing than be rested and not pursuing. Christianity, and I'm done. Christianity, folks, that's lived according to God's will and according to God's word is going to be difficult. Not a bed of roses. It has its highlights. Absolutely. Eternal life is the biggest one. Forgiveness of sins is right in there. And a relationship with God is huge. There's highlights. It's worth doing, but there are going to be trials. There are going to be difficulties. There's going to be faintness. So I want you to do this for me right now as Brother David comes. I want you to do this, and I'll do the same. I want you, in a spiritual sense, look at your feet, if you will. Not physically, obviously. Look at your feet. Are they planted where they were planted yesterday? Are they still in the place you were the day before yesterday or a week ago or a month ago or whatever? If they are, folks, you're not pursuing. If you can look behind you and you haven't grown any distance from where you were a week ago spiritually or a month ago spiritually, you're not pursuing. Not a time to beat ourselves up. It's not a time to cry over spilt milk, but it is a time to go before God and say, "God, I somewhere along the way, I got faint and I guess I quit pursuing because I hadn't moved much. And God, I repent of that." Israel did. "God, I fall upon my knees and I call upon you. Help me to pursue. Help me tomorrow to be able to look back and say, I have taken steps. I am in the battle. I have not laid down. I have not quit." I'm going to ask you to stand. The only thing, friends, that's going to change your course is you. Jesus will knock on the door of your heart and speak to you and say, "Here's what needs to be done." Perhaps he's done that this morning. But still, he will not do it for you. The only thing that will change the course of your life is you. Heading in the right direction, pursuing, Jesus is going to be right there with you, helping you to fight the battles. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Maybe you're here, God's spoken to you about anything. Maybe you need to be saved. Come forward. I will share with you what it means to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe it's some other thing. Maybe you just want to pray and worship God, but these altars are open. If God's spoken to your heart, you come. Thank you.
right. Well, we have coming this morning Dawn Lewis. If she'll come stand, Charlotte will stand with her. Dawn has been part of the family already, and we're glad of that. But she is making it official. Her membership is at Bethany Baptist Church in Lubbock, and so she wants to join us by letter. And so we will we'll pursue that. I'll entertain a motion. Anybody here, Brother Royce, second to that motion, Brother Jerry, to accept that membership. And all in favor say amen. Any opposition, raise your right hand. And I don't think so. I knew there wouldn't be. We're glad, Dawn. I want you to do this. If Charlotte, if you'll go to the back with her, I'll be back there in a minute. We'll get by there and love on her and tell her we're glad she's a part of our church. Let me also mention that this time last week, at the end of our services, we had a lady saved, and she's going to be being baptized here in a couple of weeks. And so God's working. Good things are happening, and we're glad you're here for it. Pray for those that are on the road. Pray for those that may be out sick. And we'll get our group put together, back together very quickly when school gets started. And let me just mention, we're going to not have Wednesday night services this week because Vacation Bible School begins. And it's going to be Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, 7 to 9. be a lot of children, a lot of excitement. We already have people lined out to help in most of the teachers' positions and stuff. But that doesn't mean that you can't come and be a part of it. We would love for you to come, hang out with us, see the excitement. There'll be refreshments, cookies, and this sort of thing for the kids. You'd be welcome to help out with those things, watch the playground, just anything you'd like to do. We'd like for you to come if you'd like, okay? And again, go out there and thank the Lord for the rain, okay, and be blessed, and we'll see you back here. David will be preaching to us tonight. We look forward to that. Let's be dismissed in a word of prayer, okay? All right, good deal. Mike Hoff, will you lead us in prayer?